the opportunity to share with you again this morning. Maybe can I pray, and then we will get into the sermon today. God, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship this morning with the light of the world. Jesus, I pray that as we experience you this morning, that we would experience your light and your life. I just thank you, Lord, for our familia that is gathered here. We pray, Lord, that you and your mercy would reveal yourself to us, that you might draw us together as a community. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, they're passing out some headsets, so I'm just going to pause for a minute. Pat's testing it out. I'm just going to wait, because everything I say is just really important. So I want to make sure that all my jokes are translated into Spanish. So I've been working hard on them. Very jokes. Come on, Mike. If you're waiting, you can open up to page 907 in the Bible that you have. We are going to be in John, surprisingly enough, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. So 907 in these Bibles. We're going to be in John 20, 30 and 31. All right, we're ready now. I can tell my jokes. Okay, so over the next three Sundays, can you imagine this? Over the next three Sundays, we're actually going to conclude our journey in the Gospel of John. In 3 weeks, right? It's amazing. 2 weeks ago, Andrew shared two stories of Jesus appearing to his disciples after resurrecting from the dead. In his sermon, we reflected on the superpowers of Jesus. Remember, Andrew showed the pictures of the superheroes, the superpowers of Jesus, how we're commissioned, invited to believe, and invited to confess, like Thomas did, that Jesus is Lord and God. Now, today, we're going to look at a few verses that summarize the purpose of the book. And so this is where we'll look at John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. If this passage sounds familiar, it's because it is. As I looked over the times I've preached out of John, almost every sermon I've quoted this passage out of John. Every preacher at Bevo that has preached in the Gospel of John has talked about this passage. In fact, I remember, actually, I think in the beginning, the very first sermon Darren Casper gave, the planting pastor, was about these verses, right? So Andrew says, I'm going to leave town, so Howie, could you preach on these two verses. So I appreciate him giving me that opportunity. The reason why we've talked about these verses is that these are two critical verses in the Gospel of John. The reason is that they describe the direction the author takes in his writing. And it forms the way we look at the whole book. These verses summarize what John wants us to gain from the book. And there's three primary things that I'm going to focus on today. The first is that John, who is the author had a purpose. Look with me at verse 31, 30 and the start of 31. It says, do you see this? It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The person speaking in this passage is the author. It's John the Apostle. Throughout the book, there have been times where he, as the narrator, explains something that he wants to make sure gets noticed. So he comes into the story himself. Now, before we get to what his purpose was, please note with me that he has one. He has a purpose, and it guides what signs of Jesus he chooses to share. John isn't just writing down everything he can think of. He's not trying to write a minute-by-minute summary. He's not just like, well, let's tell this story, and maybe I'll tell that story. He's recording each of these stories and the flow of them for a reason. Now, have you ever put a photo album together? Anybody ever do a photo album, right? So, I brought a couple props here. So, you know, some of us don't actually put albums together, right? Some of us just have like a stack of photos. Now, for some of you young people, you might not know, but these are pictures, photos. When you used to use a camera, you would take a picture, and then you would print out a photo like this, right? Some of you now just have them on your phone, right? Some of you, like me, don't have an album. You just have a stack of photos, right? My mom has a suitcase of photos like this. Now, so let me tell you the story of my life by looking at these photos, right? Okay, so here's me on a couch. I have no idea who's with me in this picture. Oh, this is me dressed up as the cowboy ghost. It was one of my favorite Halloween costumes. Here's me standing in a puddle. Here's me at my dedication. This isn't really a helpful way to tell you about my life, right? It's just some random collection of pictures. Now, fortunately, my wife is actually good when I give her the time and space at putting together albums. Look at this. Picking out photos. Putting words about who it was and where we were. This is about our first year of marriage and different spaces that we went to together, right? And writing out photos. Now, again, for you young people, this is a photo album. Album, right? Now my kids recognize they look like this instead, right? So this is about our trip. But we pick out photos. Oh, that is a good one. That shows these people that we saw. This talks about our trip. And oh, I should put these words here that tell us more about what is going on. When we look at an album of someone's life that they've put together, it tells us something about them. There's care in putting it together. Okay, so besides making us feel guilty about all the photos that we don't have in albums, I know some of you are like, "Ah, man, I know I have all these photos on my phone." What's my point? Why do I talk about photos in this album? Just think about it. What is the big deal that John looked at each of the pictures of Jesus? And he thought about, which ones should I put down? Which ones should I share with the people that are going to come to know him? Which encounters with Jesus should I present? The big deal is it tells us these stories matter. The placement of these stories matter. The ways that he relays them matter. The flow matters. John, in this book of the gospel, is intentional. He is telling a story. He wants us to understand something. In this verse, he says it has to do with the signs that he's written about. Now, before they put up the slide of all the different signs, let's think about the signs that he writes. Now, when John says signs, what he's talking about is the manifestations of God's work in the world. So this could be miracles, or it could be things that Jesus did, like clearing the temple. So before, hopefully Will has not put up this good job. Will, don't put up the slide. So let's think about, in the Gospel of John, and Marie Claire, thank you, what signs did John talk about? Okay, this is the answers. I want answers. What signs are in the Gospel of John? Mike's looking at John. That's all right. We can do that. Go ahead, tell me. Which signs? Turning the water into wine, that's great. What else? Yeah, Erlen. Raising Lazarus from the dead, healing Lazarus from the dead. Yes. What else? What other signs? Healing the man born blind. That's great. Feeding the 5,000. Well, you all are good. And with the fish and the loaves, that's right. What else? I got one more? This is a pretty good Bible quiz here. Let's see. Anybody for the Gospel of John? What did you say? Healing the official son. Way to go, Robert. He pulled it out. That was an early one, too. That's a good job, Robert. All right, Will, or Marie Claire, you can put them up. So these are the signs on the screen, the ones that we would consider miracles that Jesus did. We see in these signs, you see them here, water into wine, healing the official son. These are the ones we've said. Healing the man at the pool of the Bethesda. Feeding the 5,000. Walking on water. Healing the man born blind. Raising Lazarus from the dead. And rising from the dead himself. We see in these signs that Jesus has power over sickness, over creation, over life and death. These are, in addition to the other statements Jesus makes through his actions and words, these are the signs that John says. This is the purpose. He is showing us these signs for a reason. These signs show us what he wants to show us about Jesus. Now, some of us might be a little skeptical, and they might say, well, what did John not say? Which pictures didn't he write down in the book, right? Maybe he left out things that contradict the stuff that he wrote down. Now, I'm just going to, a couple quick responses on this, and it's a good question. When John recorded these stories and he shared them, there are people still alive who saw Jesus themselves. And in fact, if he had not communicated what was true, people would have said something. He's writing to a group of Jewish believers in Jesus who are persecuted by Jewish people who do not believe in Jesus. So when John writes the story, if something wasn't true, these people would have said, no, that's not true. That's not what Jesus did. But no one does. Also, John was so convinced of these stories that he ended up spending a lot of his life in the last part of his years on an island being persecuted for this Jesus. John believes that these things are true. One other thing to note is that John writes this purpose at the end of his gospel. Some of us might like, well, why didn't John just tell us this right at the beginning, right? That would have been nice. I could have figured this all out. And just think, when this was initially sent, it was read out loud from beginning to end. So no one preached about John 20 and the first time they talked about John. They started from the beginning and went to the end. So they encountered this phrase at the end of what was written. There's a couple ways we could take this. One is that John is saying, in case you missed it, here's the point. I think Andrew said this in the Facebook post. Like, if you've been wondering what this is about, come tomorrow, because Howie will tell you. In case you missed it, here's the point. Another way you could take this is that when John says that, people are like, yeah, that's right. That's what this was about. This is what we heard when we listened to the message. Either way, this phrase compels you to look back at the text. What did John say? So John, the author, had a purpose. So let's look at what is his purpose. We can look at verse 31. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Which is my second point today. John's purpose is that we would believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Our invitation today is to believe. I'm going to break this sentence down a bit. So, what is John wanting us to believe? It is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, Jesus and John are from a Jewish community that longed for the Christ to come. They saw the Christ as a person anointed for a special task, like a king, a future Messiah that would bring freedom that they deeply desired. They, as a people, longed for the rule of God. Is anybody feeling oppressed today? Feeling like the world is against you or against us? That things are in destruction around us, that things are falling apart, maybe in our lives or all around us. That there's destruction by earthquake and hurricane and wars. This is what the people felt like. They longed for a Messiah to come and bring God's rule. They desired that everything would be made right. The Jewish people of this time were oppressed by a ruling class and even by their own religious leaders. They were burdened with persecution, with high taxes, with uncertainty. They were pressed down and oppressed. Anyone relate with the Jewish people? This led to a deep longing that the Christ, the King, the Messiah would come and deliver them and would bring the rule of God. John says Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is the ruler, the one that you have been longing for. But not only is he the Christ, he is the Son of God. And this would have blown their minds because they thought it was going to be a person that would lead them forward. John says it's not just the Christ, not just a man or a woman appointed for a specific task, but it is actually the Son of God. We've seen this as we've studied the book, that Jesus is in sync with God. Remember, God's actions and words are Jesus' actions and words. He obeys God's will. He shares in God's work. He has an intimate relationship with God. There is a deep love between Jesus and the Father. The Gospel of John declares not that Jesus is one of many sons of God. It doesn't say he's one of several sons of God. It doesn't even say he's one of two sons of God. Jesus is the Son of God. One of the places we see this is in the most popular verse of the book of John. Anybody can think, what would be the most popular verse in all of the book of John? Jesus wept. For God so loved the world. There we go. I'll go with that one. That's a good one too. Jesus wept. For God so loved the world. That's the shortest one, right? John 3:16, right? You see it. People hold up. John 1:1 is a good verse, right? So John 3:16. Can you say this with me? I think it's up on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in me should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is not just the Christ. He is also the Son of God. The combination of these realities, that Jesus is the Christ, the King, the Messiah, and the Son, describe Jesus in the proper way. This combination is far more than the Jewish community or anyone expected from their Christ. And the way that Jesus came to rule and reign was entirely different than they expected. John says that he wrote these particular signs so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Our invitation today is to believe. John uses the word believe 100 times in the Gospel of John. This is 3 times as many as any other book in the New Testament. He uses it 3 times, as many times. The closest other book is around 30 times. He uses it 100 times. This word came up in Andrew's passage, and he shared our invitation to believe a couple of weeks ago. I want to say a few things about the belief that John is inviting us to. The first, and this is, I'm just going to speak from the Gospel of John. We believe that Jesus is the I Am. He is equal with God the Father. We believe that the Father is in Him and He is in the Father. We believe He is the Christ. We believe He is the Son of God. We believe He is the Father sent, we believe the Father sent Jesus. We believe Jesus came from God. All of these things are in the Gospel of John. This is what we believe. And then John says to believe in Jesus, there's several things that we do. We see in John 14:6, we come to Jesus. We see in John 3:36 that we obey Jesus. We see in John 5:23 that we honor Jesus. Our invitation is to believe. Our invitation is to believe. Next, as we see described in John, believing is a continual process. We believe in, so I believe in Jesus, right? But I continue to believe in Jesus. It's a growing, it's a continual, it's a forward progress. It's not just a one-time believe. And we see this in the gospel. There are at least 7 times in the book of John that it notes that a disciple or the disciples believed. In John 2:11, it says, this, which is the water and wine, water into wine, is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. John 16:30, the disciples say to Jesus, now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came. Well, didn't they say they believed back then? Now they're saying they believe again? What, you know, now we believe? What do you mean now you believe? Didn't you believe before? Believing is a process. The disciples show in their walking with Jesus that as he is revealed, their belief in him grows with it. They understand more of who he is and put their faith in him. They believe in him. We experience this, don't we? We've put our faith in Jesus, our belief in Jesus, and then hit something unfamiliar. And we wonder, Jesus, are you in this? Is there something going on here? And when we see God demonstrate his power or his love for us in a fresh way, it propels our belief forward. Have you had this kind of encounter before? I didn't expect you could do that, God. I didn't expect that you cared for me in that way. Our invitation is to believe. I remember, I think I've shared with you here before, when I was a young kid, I didn't want to go to hell. Who does, right? I said, I want to believe in Jesus. When I was 5. When I was 9, I realized Jesus just doesn't want to save me from hell. He wants a relationship with me. And I said, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you want a relationship with me. When I was 22, I realized how ugly and a mess I was in my life. And I said, I could never believe that God could love me. And God said, Howie, I love you. I see your mess. I love you. I believe in you, Jesus. When I was 35, I struggled with fear every night of my life. And I wondered, could God come into this space? And God said, I can free you from fear. And he freed me from fear in that way that I had struggled throughout my adult life. And I said, I believe in you, Jesus. We've dealt with things in our family, struggles and difficulties. Many of you have, right? There's difficulties. You go through sickness and other things. They say, I've always been able to fix everything that's gone wrong. What do I do when I can't fix what's going on? And Jesus says, I am here. I am with you. And I say, I believe in you, Jesus. Our invitation today is to believe, is to walk in our belief of Jesus. That's our invitation. Press into your belief of him. Now, some of you have never chosen to believe in Jesus, to come to him to do what he says, to honor him, to follow him with your life, to say, here is my life. I've recorded it in a nice album. Or maybe, here's my life. This might be more. Here's my life, Jesus. Take it. Take my life. Some of you need to give your life to Jesus today and to believe in him. Some of you need to say, I've tried to order my life, but it's not enough. I need to believe in you. We need to give our lives to Jesus today. Say, I believe in you, Jesus. Our invitation is to believe. We see in John that he talks about the crowds. He talks about people who see the signs. Look at John 12:37. It says, though he had done so many signs before them, they had come to the church at Bevo for every sermon in the Gospel of John. They had been here. They still did not believe. There were people that walked through this whole experience on the ground. They had seen everything Jesus had done, but they did not believe. Our invitation is to believe. Your invitation is to believe. Our invitation as a community is to believe. Do we believe in Jesus in this place right now? How God continues, he moves people into our congregation, he moves people out of our congregation, right? Our neighborhood continues to change and different countries come in. Do we believe Jesus now as a community? Jesus, you are here. You are with us. You are guiding us. Our invitation is to believe. All right, my third point, and I need to wrap it up, is that the fruit of belief is life. The fruit of belief is life. Look with me at the end of verse 31. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. By believing, you may have life. Just think for me for a minute. Go back in the scriptures to Genesis. Do you remember God forming people and he blew life into them? This says that you can get life from the God who blows life into the dust and people are created. By believing, you can have life. This is life. Not like barely hanging on life, right? Not like I'm limping. I'm dragging my leg life. Like, okay, I can just make it another day. I'm just going to make it another day. This is not that kind of life. This is not, I'm glad I'm here this morning life. That's a good life, but that's not the life this is talking about. Wait, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'm glad I'm here this morning too. This is life, real and genuine life. Active, vigorous, and devoted life. This is full life. Full life. The fruit of belief is life to the full. We see in John that by believing in Jesus, we gain eternal life. Life that is full forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternal life. There is no end to the life. Jesus blows and life is eternal. We see that Jesus' words are life. Jesus speaks and it is life. Have you ever experienced that? Jesus speaking a word to your heart and it brings life? Jesus' words are life. And then we hear Jesus claim in John 11:25 that he is life. Not just he gives you eternal life, not just that he speaks life, but that he is life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. Now, I think we all long for a good and a full life, right? We all long for a full life, a vigorous life. We might think about many things that get us this kind of life. For some of us, we have so many things. So many things, right? Look at my house. Just stuff all over the place, right? Yet we keep longing for that which we don't have. We have so many things, but we long for that which we don't have. And that's every commercial you watch. Every commercial you watch on TV says, if you had this thing, you would have life. The message here to us is, Jesus is the life. Jesus is where life comes from, not in our abundance of things. We will not find life in things. In fact, Jesus invites us to give what we have to other people, for those of us who have much. Now, for others of us here who are just making it each day, you only have enough for today to get through today, maybe even not quite that much. You don't have an excess. You don't have all this other stuff. You have a lack. You don't know how every bill is going to get taken care of. You don't know what you're going to eat tomorrow. You don't have enough things. Here at Oasis, they provide beds for people who don't have beds. Maybe you don't have a bed, a soft bed to sleep on. I want you to know that Jesus will produce full and real life for you. This life is something no one can take away. Not the debt collectors, not the landlord, not the wicked leaders, not difficult neighbors, not unjust rulers. No one can take this life from you. Now, in this church, we care about you having enough to live. So if that's where you're at, please talk to me, please talk to Timothy, please talk to Andrew. We want to help you with that. But I want you to know, whatever anybody takes, they can never take the life that Jesus offers. Jesus is full life, and it can never be taken from you. You can never lose the life that Jesus offers. Know that belief in Jesus will produce full and real life in you. The fruit of belief is life. The fruit of belief is life. Every day as we walk on this earth, we are told something different. Know that we need to battle for this truth. The fruit of belief is life. Jesus is the life. Nothing else is the life. Jesus is the life. So as I close today, what should our response be? We've seen that the author, John, had a purpose. One of the responses of John's purpose is to praise God that John took the time to write out the story of Jesus. This wasn't easy. He didn't just open up his computer and start typing it out. Woo, all right, good. Oh, spell correct. That's nice. Woo, yeah, right? I mean, this is like old school stuff, right? Not even like what I had to deal with, right? I mean, he got an inkwell. I don't know what he typed it out of with some stone. It took some time. It's gathering paper. Getting the ink, this took time. And that others took that story and they passed it down from generation to generation to generation, some at the loss of their very life, that we might see this story. Our response is to praise God. Thank you, God, for those who sacrificed so that I might know Jesus and have life. Thank you that your word is available to us. Another response is for us to think through our own lives. What are the snapshots in your life of God revealing himself to you? What are the snapshots? How would you share the story about Jesus revealing the life? For some of us, our story right now is like this. I mean, this is nice, like if you're my mom and you want to look at photos, right? Nobody else wants to see this mess. Some of these are blurry. These are not, they're not sequenced in any way. They don't make sense. Would you take the time this week to look at the photos of Jesus revealing himself to you? Would you take the time to look at them? To select some of them to put them together, to write some names and dates so that you can share your story with other people? How important it was that John did this. Would you take some time to put the story together of your own life about how Jesus showed himself to you so that when you encounter people, you can share it? It's a great tradition in our life group that we say in the beginning, would somebody like to share their story? And I have to admit, for me, I'm like, I shared it like, I don't know, you know, 6 months ago. I don't want to talk about it again. Will and Carrie are much better about this. They'll share it, you know, two or three times, you know, every couple months. But there's a chance in life group for you to share that story. It's important. It matters. The stories that we share and tell in life group are what we're going to tell in other places. Would you work on putting the story of Jesus together? The second step is that we saw that our invitation is to believe. John didn't write these things down primarily for us to be informed, to know what happened, to learn about Jesus. He wrote it down that we might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Is today your day to believe? As I mentioned, this could be the first time to say, Jesus, I know who you are. I believe who you are, and I choose to come to you and honor you, to obey you. We will have prayer counselors up in the front. Timothy will be up here to receive you as you come to Jesus. For others of you, you might be encountering a circumstance in your life that is pressing your belief in Jesus. Today could be the day for you to affirm that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Finally, the fruit of belief is life. Are you experiencing the full life that Jesus offers? His words are life. He is life. This morning you can come up and ask for others to join with you in praying that you would experience the life that is promised in John. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this book. Thank you for this book that shows that you are the Christ, the Son of God. I pray today that we would say yes again. We believe. I pray that we would experience the full life that you offer. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your guidance of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Howie. Let's just continue just to listen to the Lord. I was really touched by Howie's testimony of believing in Jesus as a little child, and then maturing a little bit more and having a little bit deeper understanding, and then later on as an adult, being able to break through some areas. It's similar to my own experience. And this morning, we want to really take the time to look at what that, maybe where that next thing is. What is that next thing that the Lord is asking you to believe him for? Are you up against a barrier? Is there an area in your life that you know that the Lord is saying, look, I want you to put that down, and I'm just going to patiently wait for you here. But you need to put that thing down. You need to change that behavior. You need to believe that if you forsake that, there's a better thing on the other side because you're obeying my word and you're obeying me. Maybe you've sat in this, soaked in the Lord for maybe years here, and you've never really said, Lord Jesus, I love you and be my God. I surrender. It can happen. So I've asked some prayer counselors, if you guys could come up. Howie, if you don't mind, pray for us. Pray one of our counselors. I'm just going to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. And if any of those things, that invitation to believe, that place in your life where you need life, you need the life of Christ, if the Lord is speaking something to you and you want to pray for that, you know what to do. Come on up front. But let's just really ask. Put it before God. Our God is a trustworthy and good God. If He's calling you to do something, don't hesitate. Lord Jesus, we lay our lives before you, that big bundle of photographs, all that past, all those wonderful moments, the things that are there. We recognize, Lord, that there's going to be a sequence of events in the future that shape us and change us. And we lay all that before your throne as well, Lord Jesus. Father, if there's something in us that where we need to believe or repent, if there's an area of our life, Lord God, that you're calling us for change, I pray that you'd speak that in our hearts right now, Lord. Prompt us to move on that. If we have never accepted you, Jesus, prompt us to move on that this morning in faith, to believe you, Jesus. There's an area, God, where we need life. Prompt us to pray and to press through and to ask, Lord, for that life. So we just come in your name, God, and ask these things.